All right, welcome back here to the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB as I am paying my debt, not to society, but to Brian Haney, a wager that I knew I was hosed in. Let's be honest, Syracuse versus Kansas was a no-brainer, but when all I've got to do is come up and broadcast from the 23rd Street Brewery and show some love for the Jayhawks, I'm all right. By the way, I'll make that bet with K-State and Mizzou fans. We've had so much fun here and being up here and getting a chance to talk to everybody. We were thinking, oh, you know, maybe we should do this, go to Manhattan, go to Columbia. So we're going to see if we can get that set up as well. But it's been a lot of fun up here. And you are the reason I'm here, Brian, because you forced me to bet my inferior Syracuse basketball team against your superior Kansas team. And, yes, you won. Congratulations. And I am here as I said I would be, right?
And you've tried one menu item for every point they lost by, up to number 16 now. But thank you so much. The guy that I worked for 20 years ago your scrawny intern back in the day.
Yeah.
A big reason why I've been able to enjoy some of the success I have. I'm thrilled that you guys came to Lawrence. We're excited you're here for a game night tonight as well.
Well, you're a kind man. Yes, TCU tonight for the Jayhawks. And a little bit different feel for this game because Bill Self, and I've talked to Dr. Zenger about it. I talked to Greg Gurley about it when he capably filled in for the no-showing Doug Gottlieb. That's the life with Doug Gottlieb. We choose to find it charming because we have no choice. But Bill Self's comments yesterday at his press conference, I find them remarkably refreshing. Overall, the fan base appreciates his honesty and his directness. We related it to the fact that Andy Reid would never say anything like that. And is that potentially because Andy Reid's got an impressive resume, but Bill Self's got an even more impressive resume. Is that perhaps one of the ways you create toughness is to challenge them, not just behind closed doors, but publicly, and to get them to try to go further? Is that maybe one of the things that's missing in Andy Reid's at least psychological bag of tricks with this team? You tell me, what did you think when you first heard Coach Self's comments yesterday?
Well, I wouldn't know about Andy Reid, but I think Coach Self is the single greatest button pusher I've ever been around. Okay. He knows what guys need tough love and what guys need an arm around them and to be talked up a little bit. And he knows what guys need to be challenged through the media and read some of those press clinics in a negative sense. And the guys that maybe he needs to steer clear of and be softer toward the media when talking about these guys. I think in this case, he knew exactly what he was doing. He didn't directly call out LeGerald Vick until there were follow-up questions that asked about who would be going to the bench, and then he made comments like this is a long-term move, which I think gets bolded and underlined by Kansas fans when they hear him say something like that. It's not a game-by-game type decision, and so he's smart like a fox, and he knew exactly what he was doing, and I think it'll pay dividends for Kansas. Immediately in the rebound column, when you finally have two big side-by-side, assuming you can play carefully and out of foul trouble, but hopefully it pays long-term dividends as well when it comes to the motivational factor of getting guys like Vic to bring the type of mindset and effort and attitude every single day that he's wanting to see out of LeGerald.
We're talking to Brian Haney, the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks here, as we are live at the 23rd Street Brewery, Matt Llewellyn's wonderful place here in Lawrence, where he has taken great care of us. Curtis is crushing the Bill Self mac and cheese as we speak. Happy hour 3 to 5 every day. Trivia, I believe, on Thursdays, I saw, if you'd like. Reverse happy hour Sunday nights. But every day, 3 to 5, happy hour, craft beers for just a George Washington. Lunch specials, great express lunch as well. And, of course, a great place just to watch games, including the Kansas Jayhawks. If you're not going to Allen Fieldhouse, come on out here and watch with a bunch of other KU fans. But any game will be on here at the 23rd Street Brewery. You mentioned the two bigs. You mentioned staying out of foul trouble. I kind of feel like when you go down this road, if you really want to make it stick, if all you're doing is playing Mitch Lightfoot his same 18 to 20 minutes and LeGerald Vick's playing his same 26 minutes, he's just not getting to hear his name and go high-five the guys on camera beforehand. I kind of don't think that's where Bill Self's going. I think this is going to be a little more demonstrative. So if you do get in foul trouble, and I think he wants to get back to his double posts, is this, in your mind, you get access to practice, maybe an indicator that DeSouza's a little more further along and ready to assume at least 10 minutes or so? I'm not saying you can't play the four-guard, you know, style of basketball for you know, any minutes at all. I mean, I think that will still be a part of what they do. But is this a sign? Is that part of what's enabled him to go down this road?
That was my question last night on Hawk Talk. And I think Coach all along felt like by the time we got to February, Silvio would be in a much better spot in terms of readiness and his capability of at least keeping the bar close to where the previous bigs would have it raised when he entered the game. Unfortunately, like a lot of young guys, he gets in there, he gets sped up, and the things that have been smooth and not rough edges at all in practice suddenly become rough edges. And you see three turnovers in 64 seconds in Norman, like we saw versus Oklahoma. And that's not what they've seen all the time from him in practice. He still is showing glimpses of exactly what they hoped he would be and showing a lot of progress in practice. But a lot of guys that first year get that deer in the headlights look, and one bad play leads to two. Their hope is that as we get deeper into this month, they can stretch him out a little bit more. But in answering honestly again last night, as Bill Self always does, he said now he's probably not ready to immediately be stretched back out. But that's what you're basically saying when you start these guys side by side. As he said, if they get to that under 16-minute timeout in the first half and both guys already have one foul, suddenly his hand is either forced to go back to four guards, one big, or more of Silvio. I think the hope is more of DeSosa, but realistically, that's probably still a couple of weeks away.
Okay. All right. And that's how it's looked on the floor, is that he still needs time. But difficult, and that's maybe one of the dynamics that's at work here, where this, you know, maybe even a Roy Williams Kansas team, or where this anybody else in the Big 12, you might throw him out there for 20 minutes a night and live with whatever mistakes he made, thinking that's going to speed up the development process and get you to where you want to be come stretch run, come NCAA tournament time. But with the 14th championship looming out there and what it means for this school, is that an influence? Is that part of the reason why you don't just sink or swim with him to maybe speed up the development? Is because chasing that title does mean so much.
That coupled with the fact that there's no nights off in this league this year. Previous years, you might have had a night where you could have a longer leash. Heck, the Texas A&M game and the Big 12 SEC Challenge, I asked Coach Self in the pregame, is this a game where you can give Silvio a longer leash? Because they had two very big forwards in their lineup, and it was a game that didn't count toward 14 straight, which seems to be all anybody's talking about around here. But even then, he felt like they weren't ready to throw him to the Wolves just yet. So we'll see. But you're right, it is a different feel, and if you're a Kansas fan driving around right now in Kansas City or wherever you're listening, raise your hand if you're almost more concerned with 14 straight than you are tournament seeding or how far this team can go in March. Sure, we all want to hang a sixth banner. That is, after all, what it's all about. But because this particular year in the quest for a piece of bragging rights that Kansas fans will tout for all of time, that not only did we match UCLA with 13 straight, but we got 14 straight. One coach, one program, not three coaches over 13 years in a much weaker league in a much different era with a lot less parity, but one coach, 14 years in a league that had Beasley and Durant and Heald and Griffin all in the midst of that.
Why does the one coach thing stand out to you? Dr. Zenger said that as well. I get it from Bill Self's accomplishment standpoint.
Sure.
But as a program, that kind of defines that the program sustains success beyond the coach, that the program is more than the coach, or am I looking at it differently?
No, I think that's a good way
your comments about UCLA are right on about they also, and listen, I'm not going to shy away from it. I upset some old-time basketball fans sometimes when I say this, but John Wooden, while being a wonderful guy by all accounts and having a bunch of great guys that really say he taught me so much more about life than just playing, also was the world heavyweight champion of cheating. I mean, they don't – my words, not yours. I mean, he had a guy. What's the guy's name? I always forget his name. Sam Gilbert.
Yeah.
Sam Gilbert, who – I mean, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar said on the radio to me and Pete Enoch way back in the day, 20-plus years ago, yeah, Sam would take care of us, whatever we needed. You needed money for to eat or go to the movies or you're a little short on your car or whatever. Yeah, Sam was always there. I mean, he said it. He was at an autograph signing, just matter-of-factly. Yeah, Sam took care of everything. And that's actually why Jerry Tarkanian's lawsuit started and went on forever, because he was trying to compete with him at Long Beach State, and they started sweating him about a violation. He's like, you've got to be kidding me. Look at what's going on over here at UCLA. And that's where he just wouldn't give it and sued the NCAA for 20-plus years was it started with that. So I'm with you. I get that part of it. UCLA was a unique monster and did not compete, have the same kind of competition here that Kansas had. But the three coach thing, I'm kind of like, where that did show that the program sustained itself.
And it's impressive for the program. But I think for the individual, part of Bill Self's greatness is his ability every year to mix in three or four new pieces, get the egos and the personalities to mix right. and mesh and match and go on to win with the same result, the same objective. He's never lower here, and yet every year he has to reshuffle the deck. And if he were to get it this year, that's five additional years beyond what Wooden did in his consecutive conference championships. Right. It's more than half of what Wooden did additionally, above and beyond. So to me, in looking at the two individual coaches, with the degree of difficulty being so much higher in this modern-day era of college basketball, with so much more parity. I listed off all the studs that have been in this conference during this era. There have been Final Four teams, Elite Eight teams. Heck, Scott Drew's taken a couple of teams that far during this era, and yet always Bill Self has found a way for these last 13 years. It's unbelievable.
By the way, I love the heck Scott Drew. Like, even Scott Drew. Three right. times he's gone to the Elite Eight, right? He was there last year again,
yeah.
right? I understand that. But likewise, if we're to talk about the parity, I agree. It's been more parity and a tougher road for Kansas than it was for UCLA as far as their competition. But there's no Robin to their Batman. There's no Duke Carolina. You know, no one from the Big 12 has really, in this run, there's been what? One other Final Four?
Yes.
OU?
OU. And that was
because West Virginia wasn't in the league yet.
Correct.
Is that right?
They were still in the Big East.
One other Final Four team. I mean, that is part of what makes it happen. I mean, it's not Kansas's fault. There's nothing Kansas can do. But if we are to beat our chest about better than UCLA, which I agree, it is also, this conference hasn't been able to develop their Duke. Let's be honest, UNC was the big dog. Duke is the one that's risen up under Mike Krzyzewski to be their equal. This league hasn't been able to do that and give Kansas its challenger.
And you know what? That's
not your fault,
point.
Not KU's fault, but
maybe yeah. some of that's Kansas.
You can only play
Rick
who you
Barnes
got.
With okay. all those lottery picks never got it done because he
Fair.
Couldn't beat Kansas with consistency. And you look at all the lottery picks.
You know, you're pretty good, Haney. But you're pretty good. I thought I had you kind of boxed in, but that was pretty good.
I wouldn't think that the teams you're playing against, I mean, Kansas being in the Big 12 with Rick Barnes didn't prevent him from being in the Final Four. I mean, they're not playing him.
I don't know. I mean, I get his point from the standpoint of you get beaten down and start, you're just not as emotionally tough or as emotionally strong.
Possible.
or you don't come together because you're always like, well, we're always second-class citizen. I mean, yeah, I'm going to the league and all, but, you know, why didn't Kevin Durant and DJ Augustine, you know, why were they out in the second round? I mean, you know, listen, we've seen times where Kansas gets knocked off, but it's interesting. I do think, I'm with you, I think there's no reason for OU in Oklahoma City to not consistently, and I think they are now with Lon Kruger, although last year they were out of the tournament, which was kind of surprising. Not surprising based on the personnel. What we knew, they were losing everybody. But the fact that he hadn't been able to fill in those gaps yet already with as good a coach as he is was surprising to me. But, you know, the basketball programs tend to grow up around metropolitan areas, right? And I'm not saying necessarily New York City or L.A. Go ahead, take whatever you want, Jim. It's up to you. Whatever you want's yours. Go for it, buddy. But you know, like Lexington, Kentucky is not a small town, right? I mean, it's not a town. It's a city.
Sure.
It's a real city. It's a real metro area. The basketball players tend to come from metro areas. They tend to want to go there. Football players, even the ones that will come from metropolitan areas, tend to gravitate towards, you know, the college town. You know, it's okay to be Starkville, Mississippi, and play football. It's okay to be in those towns. But the metro areas, if you look around, Louisville's in a city. You know, the programs with history, UCLA, obviously, they're all pretty much, you know, North Carolina and Duke are in a major metro area, for crying out loud. They're all more in those metropolitan areas. Oklahoma, and now really with Austin becoming, and I, you know, this place that I've never been there, but people just, oh, Austin, so great. Oh, I got to get there, obviously, because I'm not sure what I'm missing. But those two programs should be the equal. So that's where I will say I'll give you credit, Haney,
yeah.
and say that Kansas has slapped them down the way North Carolina couldn't slap Coach K and Duke down, right? I mean, if Carolina, maybe it is that Kansas has not let Billy Tubbs really get going enough or parlay it after Billy Tubbs and get Kelvin Sampson. Although Kelvin Sampson, to me, kind of had it running. He was kind of toe-to-toe there with Roy Williams on a regular basis and really taking it to him in Big Eight tournaments. But I'll go there a little bit. That it's Kansas beat down has put the mentality on other programs.
A little bit. And Curtis's point is right. It's not like Kansas has knocked these teams
right.
out of the tournament each of these years. They did Oklahoma
right.
in 88, obviously. Did
yep.
K-State that same year, too.
Well, really, let's be honest. You have one program to thank for your dominance, Syracuse. because we handled the whole Big 12 that year. We took care of everybody in 03. Could have been Oklahoma State's year. We took them out for you. Could have been OU's year. We took them out in the Elite Eight. Could have been Texas's year with Travis Ford. He might have had to play Texas again. We took them out for you. So even though we beat Kansas, I'll take credit. We stomped everybody else that were legit threats that year.
Could you have stopped one game short, please?
Right. I still have nightmares about 6 first-half threes from Jerry McNamara. I'll tell you a funny story.
It's reality, man.
I was sitting next to Linda Cohn that night.
Okay.
And there was a torrential
downpour.
It's funny.
Similarly, I was sitting next to Todd Lebo.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah, because similar build and whatnot.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Similar achievement levels, yeah.
Yeah.
Torrential downpour before the game.
Yep.
Media bus drops us off on the wrong side of the Superdome, which is the largest possible venue to have to run all the way around to get to the right entrance.
That was awful.
I somehow, yeah, the rain's coming down like a cow pissing on a flat rock. Can I say that?
Yes.
You got delay, right?
You did.
Okay. And so I run past the entrance because I can't see it. It's a horizontal rain. I end up making it inside the Superdome just absolutely soaked, like wringing out my suit.
I stepped in a puddle that was ankle deep, like the whole shoe sock.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, like this is a great start.
I get ushered to my seat next to Linda Cohn, and she looks up at me like, what rock did this kid crawl out from underneath? How did I get sitting next to this kid as I drip on her inadvertently? And then Jerry Mack has to rein in 6 more threes as if the rain outside wasn't enough. But what's funny about that day, and I know you've heard this 1,000 times, Mike Lee to this day believes the shot was going in. And I say to him, Mike, how can you know that? It was only out of your hands for a tenth of a second. But he says, I just know. You know
the
when
fact
you know.
That Hakeem Warrick blocked it with his elbow, he should have put
just look at a picture looking down the sideline of that shot, and you can't believe that. The play
close
worked.
Out.
That's such an iconic play. A couple nights ago when Missouri was playing Kentucky, someone from Kentucky was shooting a three, and someone came over it, and it was like a similar shot. It wasn't that athletic, but I immediately thought of that play.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not a fan of either squad, but that play is an all-timer, and you see where he came from. Basically came from the lane out and blocked that shot and didn't touch the shooter.
Unbelievable.
Nuts.
Tony, I don't want to get, because I have to hear that from we should have won.
Oh, no, I'm not saying that. It's just interesting. The kid that got swatted thinks about it every day of his life. In the same way that Mario Chalmers never
Chris
has
Collins
a day
was...
in his life where he doesn't think about the shot in San Antonio, Lee wakes up every day, and that's still on his mind.
Chris Collinsworth was asked at the Super Bowl how often he thinks about losing 2 Super Bowls to the 49ers. He said every single day.
Every single day.
Every single day.
And then he's working it out with referees' calls and touchdowns. That's how he's handling it.
He's taking his frustration out on bad calls. If you listen to the Super Bowl, Brian, do not emulate Chris Collinsworth. Or Al Michaels, although I agree with Curtis, with a better guy, Michaels would be better, but that Super Bowl was...
How do you tell? I don't know. I can't tell.
Yeah. Yeah.
By
the way, just real quick on tonight's game. So we're going to see the double posts.
Yep.
Right? We're going to see that aspect. We'll see how much Vic plays. Do you expect his minutes to go down? Not just he won't start, but his minutes to go down.
We'll see how well the double post goes. We'll see how well foul trouble issues go. But maybe just a little bit. Hopefully we'll see a fire out of him and some other guys, too. It wasn't just LeGerald Vic the coach was calling out. When I sat inside that banquet on Saturday night, 120 years of Kansas basketball to be celebrated, and he apologized to all the guys from the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and he promised them, you're never going to see it like this again, and made the comment, you know, I love my guys, but tonight I don't like my guys. This is going to get fixed. Maybe this is the best thing that could have happened to us. And he referenced the 110th anniversary they had, in which the 08 team had lost 3 of 5, and they had to look those guys in the eyes and tell them that they were going to get it right. And sure enough, they did.
They lost those games on the road.
It's true. I'm not saying that's going to happen with this team, but the point is, even within that season, there was that one watershed moment where a corner had to be turned. Hopefully that was Saturday, because Coach has been about as outspoken as you'll ever hear him be, both on the air, in front of the mic, and in private circles. And so, like I said, there's no better button pusher I've been around, and he's pushed every button and pulled every string he could in the last 72 hours.
Button pusher. You ever seen that?
He's a button pusher.
It's, what is that, Family
Guy?
That's
the Simpsons, I think.
Simpsons. Just wanted to talk about the manager. Can't stand him because he's a button pusher. That's what we say about all managers. What is he's like? Every manager sucks.
Yeah, they never make any move. And if they make too many moves, he's a button pusher.
Yeah, exactly. Just like how no matter what a manager does,
I hate guys
wrong.
That just push buttons
button
all day.
You just push buttons all day.
You know, ever since Obama came in, you've got all the answers, don't you?
That wasn't it, but there's
that
another
was
one.
Good.
That is pretty good, though.
He's
well done, Rob. Well done. All right, Brian, we'll let you go. I know you got to get ready for tonight's game, and we will be talking to you next week, buddy.
Thanks for coming down, guys. It means a lot to have you here.
My debt has been paid.
It has indeed.
It has been paid. We'll have to find a wager that's a more suitable, one where I have a fighting chance to win next time.
So. Can't wait, bud.
All right, Brian Haney with us here in the program. We'll take a break. We'll talk to Joe Dineen, KU linebacker, coming up next, live at the 23rd Street Brewery. It's the program On the Road as we're here at Matt Llewellyn's wonderful place. Matt does such a great job. The staff, so accommodating. The food, so good. It's a brewery. Yes, they've got all the beers. Sometimes that you think about, okay, great beers. Yeah, they got that, including happy hour, 3 to 5. Get those great craft beers for just a George Washington. But also the food, absolutely fantastic. Everything made from scratch right here at the 23rd Street Brewery.